All right, welcome back everybody to the Depth Dive. Today we're gonna get into some nitty gritty legal stuff. A case from all the way back in 2001, Bozy v. City of Brookings out of the South Dakota Supreme Court. This one really digs into how cities handle those big construction contracts. Like, when can they change things up without starting that whole bidding process all over again?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And Bozy really hits on, I think, this core tension you see all the time. You've got, on the one hand, this need to spend public money transparently and fairly, you know, the whole idea behind competitive bidding. But on the other hand, construction projects, they're huge, they're complex, things come up, right?
Totally.
So how do you balance those two things? For our listeners out there who are in law school, this case is a great way to see how those big legal ideas like statutory law and equity actually play out in a real situation.
Okay, so let's set the stage here. Back in 1997, we're in Brookings, South Dakota. They want to build this Agriplex, and they hire Mills Construction to do it. The first contract, it all seems pretty basic, right? Gravel the south parking lot, get the research building kind of started.
Right, yeah, simple stuff. And I imagine Mills won that initial contract through a competitive bid, which is what South Dakota law usually requires for these public projects.
Makes sense.
But then, as things get rolling, they start to, you know, kind of deviate from that original plan. As the project goes on, the city puts out 12 change orders.
12.
12. Mm-hmm. And some of these, I mean, some of these are pretty big deals. We're talking about taking that south parking lot, not just gravel anymore. They want it fully paved. And then there's a bunch of stuff about fixing up the inside of the Agriplex for the people who are going to be renting space in there, tenant improvements, they call it.
And that's where things start getting messy, right? Because none of these big changes went through another round of competitive bidding. And that's what caught the eye of this local taxpayer, Thomas Bozied, and that's why he sues. He's saying, hey, these changes are breaking South Dakota law, specifically SDCL Chapter 518, which basically lays out all the rules for how cities got to handle bids on public projects.
His argument is pretty straightforward. He's saying these aren't just little tweaks, they're big changes to what was originally planned. And because of that, the city had to, they were obligated to get new bids to make sure they were really getting the best deal for the taxpayers, you know, and keeping everything out in the open the way competitive bidding is supposed to.
Now, I think it's worth taking a second here to talk about competitive bidding. For folks who don't deal with government contracts every day, why is it so important? It can seem kind of bureaucratic.
It can, yeah. But if you zoom out and think about it, competitive bidding does a lot of really important things for good government. It's really a key protection against, you know, corruption and favoritism. If you make everyone bid openly, it's a lot harder for officials to just hand contracts to their buddies or whoever instead of looking at who's the best or the cheapest.
Right. It levels the playing field.
Exactly. It gives all sorts of businesses a shot at public work. And in the end, the goal is to be smart with taxpayer money to get the most bang for the buck, you know, the best value for the public.
All right, that makes a lot of sense. So South Dakota's got this law, SDCL 518-18.3, that generally says you got to do competitive bidding for public contracts. But are there exceptions? What if something comes up during a project that wasn't planned for?
Right, and that's where the Bozied case gets really interesting legally. The law does say that it's okay to make changes during a project if they're unforeseen and necessary, things you just couldn't have predicted. And a lot of what the court is doing in Bozied is trying to figure out what those exceptions really mean. They basically set up a two-part test to see if these specific change orders should have gone through another round of bidding.
Okay, break down that two-part test for us. What are they looking at?
So the first part, it focuses on foreseeability.
Yeah.
Was it reasonable to expect these changes back when they signed the original contract? Like, with the tenant improvements, the city argued that they couldn't have known exactly what each tenant was going to want beforehand. But the court pushed back on that, saying, okay, but couldn't you have predicted that there'd be some tenant improvements needed? I mean, you're building a space for lease, right? You know people are going to want to customize it.
It does seem like kind of a no-brainer, right? If you build a commercial space, you got to figure someone's going to want to change things up once they move in.
Yeah. Now, the second part of the test, it gets into necessity. Were those changes really essential to the original project? You know, like the core idea of what they were trying to build?
For Bozy, they're looking at that paved parking lot. The original plan was just gravel. So was paving it really necessary for the Agriplex to do its job, or was it just, you know, a nice upgrade?
So what happened? Did the circuit court, the first court that heard this case, did they side with the taxpayer?
They did, yeah. The circuit court, They took a pretty hard line on it. They basically said these changes were big, they weren't really unpredictable in the grand scheme of things, and paving that parking lot wasn't absolutely essential, so the city should have gone back and gotten new bids. And then they didn't just stop there. They said that the change orders were void, totally canceled, and that Mills Construction had to give back all the money they'd already been paid for that extra work.
Wow, that's gonna hurt. I mean, for Mills Construction, that's a huge financial blow.
It is, yeah.
So I'm guessing the city and Mills appealed. You bet they did. That's how it goes to the South Dakota Supreme Court. And Justice Kodenkamp writes the majority opinion. Now, the Supreme Court, they didn't exactly disagree that the change orders maybe broke the competitive bidding rules, but they really honed in on this one procedural point. They're saying, look, whether something's foreseeable or necessary, that's a question about the specific facts of the case. And those kinds of questions, they shouldn't be decided this quick way, what they call a summary judgment, which is what the circuit court did. The Supreme Court says, we might need a full trial to really look at all the details of each change order.
So did they send it back down for a full trial then? Back to square one?
Well, not quite. And this is where Bozied gets really interesting. The Supreme Court, even though they said those change orders might have been done wrong, they actually overturned the part where Mills had to give back all the money they'd already been paid.
Hold on. How does that work? If the change orders are maybe invalid because they skipped the bidding, how come Mills gets to keep the money?
Okay, so this is where the idea of equity comes in. The Supreme Court points out that the city, Brookings, they already got the benefit of all that work that Mills did. They've got a paved parking lot. People are using it. They've got those tenant improvements. Folks are probably working in those spaces. And their court, they use this old legal saying, the law hates forfeiture. Basically, if there's no sign of fraud, no collusion, nobody twisting arms to get those change orders, and the city got something real out of it then.
It seems kind of unfair to punish Mills just because the process wasn't perfect.
Right. That's what they call unjust enrichment, where the city would be coming out ahead and Mills would be taking a loss just because of a procedural misstep. The court's saying, okay, maybe the city messed up by not getting new bids, but Mills did the work in good faith, so they should be paid for it. It's only fair.
It's like a compromise, trying to be both legal and fair.
Yeah, exactly.
But what about the argument that, you know, if contractors know they might have to give back all the money from a change order that wasn't done right, wouldn't that make them less likely to do these kinds of non-bid changes in the future?
Right. That was one of the big points from Judge Von Wald's dissenting opinion, wasn't it? He thought Mills should have to give all the money back.
Exactly.
Yeah. He argued for a much stricter interpretation of the competitive bidding laws, basically saying, look, if we want to keep bidding fair and protect public trust, we got to hold contractors accountable. They work on public projects. They should know the rules, and they should be the ones who take the financial hit if they break them. He's saying a full refund would really scare people straight and make them think twice before skipping bids.
So there's this real push and pull, huh? Trying to follow the letter of the law, but also wanting things to be fair.
It's a constant balancing act, yeah. And Bozied shows that really well. The majority opinion tried to do both. Uphold competitive bidding, but also be fair to Mills, since the city got something out of it.
Now, there was also something about a city ordinance that Brookings tried to pass after everything went down, right? They wanted to kind of make those payments okay after the fact.
You're right. After the lawsuit was filed, the city tried to pass this ordinance, City Ordinance 2598, to basically say those payments they made to Mills, they were good, even though there were all these questions about the change orders.
Like a legal do-over.
Yeah, exactly. But the South Dakota Supreme Court wasn't having it. They struck down that ordinance, said it was unconstitutional. Their reasoning was really clear. You can't just pass a city ordinance to get around state law. Competitive bidding for public projects, that's a state law issue covered by SDCL Chapter 518. Mm. Brookings can't just make their own local rule to, you know, ignore state law.
It's like state law trumps local law.
Exactly.
All right, so bottom line, what are the big lessons from Bozied v. City of Brookings, you know, especially for our law student listeners or anyone who works with public contracts? What should they take away from this case?
I think there are a few key takeaways here. Number one, it's a big flashing warning sign for contractors. They've got to know and follow those public bidding laws, state and local. You can't just assume that any change order is okay, no matter how big it is, without going through the bidding process.
Mm.
Then second, Bozied clarifies what cities can and can't do. They can't just decide to make huge changes to existing contracts without going back and getting new bids. They've got to look at whether the changes were really unforeseen and necessary.
And that's where that two-part test comes in, right? Foreseeability and necessity.
Right, yeah. Those are the key things courts look at when they're deciding if a change order needs new bids. And then third, Bozied shows us that even if a city does something wrong, legally speaking, the courts might still step in to make things fair. Like if a city got something out of the deal, they can't just say, oops, we didn't follow the rules, so we're not paying.
And it also shows that city ordinances can't override state law when it comes to this stuff.
Right. You can't just create a local rule to get around what the state says.
So, to sum it all up, competitive bidding, it's the rule of the game for public contracts. But if things change, and those changes are truly unpredictable and necessary, there's a process to follow. But even if you don't follow that process perfectly, the courts can step in and say, look, let's make this fair.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in the end, it all comes down to finding that balance between making sure everything's transparent and fair with competitive bidding, but also recognizing that construction projects, they're messy, and sometimes things just change. Bozied v. City of Brookings, it really gives you a good look at how courts try to find that balance.
It's a case that definitely makes you think, you know, next time you drive past a construction project and see all those signs for change orders, you start wondering what really went down there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You start thinking, what was really unpredictable? What was really necessary? And it raises a bigger question for anyone who's involved in or just watching public projects. Mm-hmm. How do we make sure things are open and fair, but also make sure we can deal with those curveballs that come up in construction? That's a question that Bozied v. City of Brookings tackles head on, and it's one we're still grappling with today.
Add some food for thought. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us for the deep dive. We'll catch you next time.